Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. This is the Prayer Closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, and concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer@yeshome.com. And let us know what needs you have, and we will pray for you today on the Prayer Closet. And remember, it doesn't matter. It could be big, it could be small. All things belong to God, and all things belong in His hands. So do not feel like, oh, that's not important enough for me to go and ask prayer for. Yeah, if it's on your mind and concerning you, it is. Likewise, don't think it's too big for God to handle. He can most certainly handle it. And also remember, we keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so you don't have to worry. You know, if it's something personal, you're going to call and say, oh, I've got trouble in my marriage. They're like, oh, I don't want that broadcast on the radio. Well, that's fine. We understand that. We're not here to embarrass anybody. We want to pray for you. So you don't even need to tell us who you are when you call in. We just want to pray for you. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we can come and seek after you, knowing that you are ready to hear from us, ready to receive from us. Lord, that you have good things that you want to give us out of your hand. So we thank you, we praise you, we celebrate you this day because you are a good God. We are worthy of our praise and our honor and our glory. We entrust ourselves to you, knowing that you will do great work in the lives of our listeners. As those who call in and everyone who calls in with these prayer requests, Lord, you are going to work in a mighty way in their life. You're going to work with power and strength in their life. And they will experience the fullness of all good things from your hand. So, Lord, we praise you this day because you are such a good and gracious Father. We praise you because you are good to us. We praise you because you care for us and that our lives and the things that are going on with us matter to you. They are of concern to you and you take them to your heart. So we praise you, we celebrate you, we give you all glory and pray this in your name. Amen. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer requests, I'd like to get into the Word of God to get our hearts and minds focused on the Lord. And we've been looking at the story of Abram. And last week we looked at, or the last couple of days, we've been looking at the call of Abram. Just the incredible amount of faith that Abram showed and what little he knew about God, yet nonetheless responded immediately with obedience to the things that God had told him to do. So we have Abram, as he's known so far. He's not yet been called Abraham. God changes his name later, but he's Abram at this point. Called by God to leave his family, his home, his nation, everything he knows, and go to a land that God will show him. He's not going to tell him where it's at, but he wants him to go. And so he does, and his nephew Lot goes with him, and he sets off. In total faith, trusting in the Lord, he sets off. And just an incredible act of faith about Abram that he shows here. And he is one of the great men of faith. I think Abram did more with less than anybody in the Bible. But he was also human. He was not perfect. And for all the faith that Abram shows in leaving and in going and following God in obedience, in unquestioned obedience, there's no indication in the scriptures that Abram questions God or challenges God in any way. He simply does what God tells him to do. It's a radical request God makes, and he just gets up and does it. So it's an incredible act of faith. But as we'll see, you know, even the most incredible people of faith can stumble at times. So we'll pick up our story a little later on, chapter 12, verse 10. It says, now there was famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. And as he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. And when Abram came to Egypt, and the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman, and when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. Why have you done this to me? Or what have you done to me? He said, why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. So Abram takes his bold step of faith to follow God. Unquestioning, without hesitation, leaves everything behind to go and to a place he doesn't even know where he's going, but God leads him to. And, you know, he's just an amazing act of faith. But he gets to Egypt, and his faith falters. He gets to Egypt, and he realizes, all right, I got to go down to Egypt because there's a famine in the land, but they have food. Not unlike what we'll see later on with Joseph and his brothers. A little foreshadowing here. He's going to head to the land to get, because they have food in Egypt, and he can go there and buy food. But he's concerned because his wife is beautiful. And he's afraid that if they go and see how beautiful his wife is, that Pharaoh will want her for himself. And if he knows that this is Abram's wife, what he's going to do is kill him to take his wife. And obviously, you know, he doesn't want that to happen. He's a little nervous. So this is a concern. So what does he do? Well, he stops what he's doing. He takes it to the Lord. He stops in prayer and takes it to the Lord and says, Lord, I know there's a famine in the land, but I need to go to Egypt to get food. But I'm concerned about this. So Lord, we pray that you'll protect us and preserve, you know, preserve my life, preserve my wife's life, and watch over us and guard us in the land. Put the fear of God in the Egyptians so that they will not harm us. And we trust in you, Lord, because you are a good and gracious God. Right? That's what he does. No. It's what he should have done. What he does instead is take his wife next to him and says, hey, look, when we get into Egypt, tell everybody you're my sister and not my wife. Because if you tell me you're a wife and Pharaoh takes a shine to you, he'll kill me to have you. So just tell him you're my sister so they'll leave me alone and won't kill me. So they get into the land and that's what they do. And sure enough, some of Pharaoh's men see Sarai and they're like, hey, you know, she's all right. She's a good-looking woman. Pharaoh like her. She's just his type. And they go and talk her up to Pharaoh. And he's like, hey, all right. She married? No, just sister of this guy. Came wandering in. All right, let's get her. Put her in the harem. Because, you know, he would have had multiple wives. And that's exactly what happens. They come for her. And even at this juncture, Abram, you know, he still has time to say, wait, no, you can't tell. I know I told you your sister, but the truth is she's my wife. You can't have her. But he doesn't. And so Sarah is forced to go into the harem of Pharaoh. And he takes her as his wife. With all of that entails. And she's got to deal with it. She got to put up with it. This is a terrible situation. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I love Abram. He's one of my great heroes of the Bible. But man, this is bad, right? I mean, this is bad. He's basically, and you know, forgive me for saying it this way, but this is the reality. He's basically prostituting his wife out to protect his own life. Think of the terrible situation he put Sarah in. What did she have to endure? I mean, how awful was this? Because he cared more about his own life and didn't trust God. It's a great failure on the part of Abram. So God strikes Abram dead because clearly, you know, he screwed up and that's it, right? Well, no. It is a great failure on the part of Abram. It's a terrible sin. It's a terrible thing he doesn't trust God. It's a terrible thing he does to Sarah. It's just bad all the way around. But God is in the redemption business. God is not going to allow this to stand. And God's not going to let Abram's lack of faith and sinful selfishness derail his plans. And so what does he do? He sends a disease upon Pharaoh's house. And not just one, of serious diseases. He inflicts the house of Pharaoh. One, I think, to protect Sarah so that, you know, Pharaoh leave her alone. So God first acts to protect her, but also as an approach upon Abram, because God is protecting Abram's wife in the way that Abram should have protected her. You know, in the New Testament, and I realize Abram didn't have the New Testament, but when Paul talks about the church and he talks about husbands loving their wives, what does he say? You should love your wife like Christ loved the church, giving himself up for her, laying down his life for her. What if they had killed Abram? What if his life would have been threatened because of her? Should he not have been willing to lay down his life for her? Fact is, he should have. But he wasn't. At least not in this moment. So God sends diseases upon Pharaoh's house, severe diseases. So much so that Pharaoh knows, you know, we don't know how he knows, maybe he talks to his diviners or something or whatever, but God makes it known to Pharaoh that this is because this woman you have taken is not yours. Then you need to let her go. By the way, again, parallels, just as Israel was captive in Egypt, and what did God do? Sent plagues upon the Egyptians to let them go. God sends a plague upon Pharaoh's house so that he'll let Sarah go. And that's exactly what happens. Pharaoh calls Abram in and says, hey, what have you done to me? Why have you done this thing? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? You told me she was your sister. I took her as my wife, and now look what's happened. Your God has put all these diseases upon my house. Why did you do this thing? Take her. Take her and go. Get out of here. And gives orders, you know, they're not to be harmed, don't kill them, but, you know, escort them to the border. With everything he has, he doesn't steal anything, he doesn't take anything, but he sends them out. I don't want you here. And so Abram is kicked out. We don't know how long they were in Egypt, it doesn't tell us, but he has to leave. It's not a great moment for Abram. You know, one of the things that I like about the Bible is that it doesn't sugarcoat its heroes. You know, they're great men of the Bible. Peter, David, Abram, Moses. You know, all these great heroes of the Bible, and yet we also see not just their great achievements for the Lord, but their great failures. Not that we celebrate those failures, but we see that they were human too. They were not perfect in themselves. I don't know if there's a greater man of faith in the whole Bible than Abram. I really, I feel like he did more with less than anybody in the Bible. And his faith with God, it was pretty immense. But even a man like that can give in to fear and doubt and not trust the Lord. And it's true of us too. We know that we should have faith in God. We know we should trust him in all things. But even we can have fear and doubt and allow those things to come in and cloud our trust for the Lord. And God is going to act in those moments in ways that will lead us to trust him. What Abram saw was God protect his wife in the way he should have, and God protect him as well, in spite of his sin, because God's trying to teach him a lesson. Next time you hear, you put your faith in me. And we tell lies. Don't be trying to pass Sarah off as your sister. Don't be doing this. Don't be doing that. You just trust in me. I will take care of you. I took care of this. You didn't trust in me. I still took care of it. Next time you come, trust in me. There will be times in our life we won't trust God. Our faith will fail. It will flag. It will waver. And I believe God's going to act in those moments to teach us that we can trust him. And it may not be painless. Sometimes God has to discipline us. The Bible says he disciplines those whom he loves. But it also won't be destructive. It will be redemptive. It will be to teach us, you can trust me. See, you can trust me. You don't think you can, but I'm telling you can. See, I've shown it to you. Trust me. That's a great battle of the Christian life, is to live every day in complete faith in God, to trust wholly in him. So many things that war against that in our lives, in our minds, in our world, and everything God is doing. He's working to grow us to that point where we just live each day in complete trust and faith of him. And even when we fail, he won't abandon us, but he's going to work to help us. He's going to work to build faith in us and to teach us, yes, you can trust me. We'll come back with your prayer requests, 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. Time for your prayer requests, 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And we do want to pray for those who are traveling about out there. Remains very slippery out, many accidents. So praying for travel mercies for those traveling around. In fact, even Detroit Metro Airport has been closed due to the ice. But let's pray for those who are traveling. Lord, we do pray for travel mercies today as people are out heading to work, some maybe to school, although many are canceled. But Lord, we just pray for safety on the roadways. Pray for safety for those who are traveling. Pray that you just watch over our listeners. Lord, deliver them to where they need to be and deliver them home safely without trouble. We pray this in your name. Amen. And also prayer for someone who's having a CT scan on his neck, has had severe pain, and hoping to find out what the cause of that is. Lord, we do pray for this listener as they're getting the CT scan and dealing with these neck issues. We pray, Lord, that you would reveal what's causing the pain in this neck, that you would heal what's causing this pain in the neck, whether you touch this person in a miraculous way to bring healing to them, or use the gifts and abilities you've given to these doctors and the healing gifts you've given to these doctors. Lord, that you would but allow them to see what's causing this pain and bring healing and relief from it, Lord, as you touch and heal this person for your glory. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Prayer Closet. Remember, if you have a prayer request, you can get that to us at any time at prayer@yeshome.com. You can also call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 419-389-0893. Or you can go online to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the chat now button and you can get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to a live online spiritual coach for live online chat session. God bless everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on the Prayer Closet.